afternoon, everyone. I call to order this meeting of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee for Tuesday, February 15, 2022. To ensure that we have a quorum, I want to introduce the members of the committee. My colleagues, please respond present when I call your name. Peter Van Alphen.
Present.
Arthur Bernstein.
Present.
Samuel Gill.
Present.
Dean Koloski.
Present.
Mike Moran.
Present.
Robin Salmon.
Present.
Donald Scarinci.
Present.
Dennis Tucker.
Present.
Dr. Hawkcroft Fuller.
Present.
I am Dr. Lawrence Brown, Chair of the CCAC. I believe we have a quorum.
That is correct.
Before we begin this meeting, I would like to remind each member of the committee to mute his or her phone or microphone when not talking and to announce your name prior to speaking each time so the court reporter can accurately attribute statements to you. Additionally, I remind the public to mute your phone as this is a listening-only hearing for the public. The agenda for today's public meeting includes a review and discussion of the obverse and reverse candidate designs for the 2023 American Liberty High Relief 24-karat gold coins and several silver medals. Before we begin today's proceedings, I ask that the Mint liaison to the CCAC, Ms. Jennifer Warren, do we have any members of the press on the call today?
Good afternoon. This is Jennifer Warren. Yes, we do. Brandon Hall, Whitman Publishing, Senior Associate Editor. Darcy Grebo, The Numismatist, Associate Editor. Mike Unser, Coin News Media Group, Founder and Editor. Maggie Fall, Numismatic News, Editorial Director. And Paul Gilks, Amos Media, Coin World Senior Editor.
For the record, I would also like to confirm the following Mint staff are on the call today. Please indicate present after I call your name. April Stafford.
Present.
Vanessa Hancock.
Present.
Pam Bora.
Present.
Roger Velasquez.
Present.
Russell Evans.
Present.
Joe Mann.
Present.
Mike Costello.
Present.
Jennifer Warren.
Present.
Greg Wyman.
Present.
Betty Birdsong.
Present.
I really would like to thank all of you for joining the call today. I would just appreciate just a few minutes, to recognize the significance of this first meeting of the CCAC in 2022. It is not lost upon me that my term is occurring as many in this nation are celebrating Black History Month. While I am the first African-American to serve as chair of the CCAC, this is not the first time that African-Americans have played noteworthy roles in U.S. coinage. Indeed, African-Americans have played a rich but often untold roles in U.S. coin designs. These roles, in some ways, are similar to my personal history. Regarding such, I am forever grateful to Jennifer, Betty, April, Greg, Joe, and the thousands of dedicated employees of the U.S. Mint. Analogous to the old commercials of hair loss remedies, I am not just a CCAC member, I am also a longstanding, satisfied consumer of the products of the U.S. Mint. I am also grateful to my fellow members of the CCAC, from whom I have learned a wealth of information beyond the elementary knowledge I possessed at the beginning of my CCAC term. Special mention goes to Tom Uram and Mary Lannan, who, by the way, we should recognize, this is the first meeting that she's missing after 7.5 years. And my predecessor, chairs of the CCAC. I also want to thank a former director, Ryder, because certainly he was instrumental in me coming on the CCAC. As the official press release indicates, my journey in coin collecting began at the age of 12 back in Brooklyn with a present from my parents of my first red book, initiating a lifelong hobby supported by the American Numismatic Association, the ANS, the Northern Valley Coin Club, which is my local coin club. But such a hobby would not have been possible coming from a neighborhood where addiction was present, is present, and will forever be present in many communities unless there are major societal changes. This is one of the reasons I pursued a profession in addiction medicine, allowing me to address this continuing unmet societal need with the support of thousands of dedicated professionals on whose shoulders I stand. In summary, I am here today based upon the phenomenal support I received from my colleagues in the field, the patients who assisted in my development, and the many friends I have developed in continuously fulfilling hobby while serving our nation by providing miniature canvases filled with unforgettable art. Most importantly, I am here because of family. While my father has passed, my mother still gives me advice and lets me know that she is the parent. My wife, Faith, who was present at my swearing in, continues to be supportive and patient with me. This is most important when I share with her my new acquisitions. Our lives are filled with nieces and nephews and godchildren, all of whom sometime have patiently stood by while I share with them some tidbits about coin collecting. Now today, I feel that my family has expanded, and I want to thank you based on the way you make me feel. Let me end with a quote from Maya Angelou. Quote, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, and people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel," end quote. You, my colleagues, have made me feel great, and particularly you have all played a role in making me feel valued. I pray that I could return the favor to you. Thank you. Now moving on to the business of the day. First, I'd like to begin with the Mint. Are there any issues that need to be addressed before we start?
This is Jennifer Warren. No, there is not.
Hearing none, our first item on the agenda is the review and approval of the minutes from the October 19th, 2021 public meeting. Are there any comments on the documents? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Peter, so moved.
Peter is moving, who's the second?
Art Bernstein seconds it.
Art Bernstein. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any nays? None. Are there any objections to the motion? If not, without objection, the minutes and the letters are approved. And now, I'd like to turn to April Stafford, who's the chief of the Mint's Office of Design Management, who will present the obverse and reverse candidate designs for the 2023 American Liberty High Relief 24 karat gold coins and silver medals. Ms. Stafford.
Thank you so much. Some background on this program first. The United States Mint launched the American Liberty 24 karat gold coin and silver medal program in 2015. The Secretary of the Treasury authorized the program based on the Mint's statutory authority to issue gold coins and silver medals. Designs for this biennial program feature modern depictions of Liberty on the obverse and an American Eagle on the reverse. For 2023, the Mint will issue a 1 ounce high relief 24 karat gold coin and a 0.9999 fine silver medal. We are also considering the possibility of issuing these coins in a 1/10 ounce size. To facilitate your deliberations, the candidate designs were presented to you in all three of the format prior to this meeting. So we'll start looking at the obverse designs. Candidate designs for the 2023 American Liberty 24 karat gold coin and silver medal obverse features the theme of liberty through perseverance. Required inscriptions for the gold coin obverse designs are Liberty, In God We Trust, and 2023. The 1/10-ounce versions will include the same inscriptions with placement accounting for the smaller planchet. The corresponding silver medal obverse will have 2023 with the optional inscription Liberty. Designs will be presented side by side in both their 1-ounce gold and 1-ounce silver medal versions for your consideration. All right, so we will go ahead and let's launch the images, please, side by side. We'll start with obverse one. We'll go to obverse one, please. There we go. Obverse one shows a stylized sculptural figure embodying the perseverance that achieving and maintaining liberty requires. He's framed by a stone architectural element, which within the circle is intended to evoke the classical image of Leonardo da Vinci's The Vitruvian Man. Obverse two features a bristlecone pine, a species native to California, Nevada, and Utah, thought to be the oldest living organisms on Earth, living up to 5,000 years. Bristlecone pines grow in places where other plants cannot and are often the species that is first to repopulate the land after cataclysmic changes, such as a lava run or a glacial runoff. The silver medal has the additional inscription, "We shall persevere." Obverse three features a suffragist dressed in the style to recall the 1913 women's suffrage procession in Washington, D.C., and other demonstrations of the period. With her confident stride, she represents all of the women who assisted in the efforts to promote voting rights. Her resemblance to the famous Walking Liberty coin is intentional, casting this suffragist as a kind of real-life depiction of liberty. Obverse four depicts Liberty draped in the American flag, wearing her Liberty cap to represent freedom. In her hand, she grips a laurel wreath, symbolizing victory. She tends to a sturdy but unfinished rampart and holds her torch aloft as a beacon to lighten even the darkest night. Obverse five depicts a young rock climber ascending a steep precipice. Her goal of reaching the top seems nearly unattainable, but with grit and perseverance, she remains determined to reach her destination. The image represents the many Americans who continue to confront challenges in pursuing and securing liberty. Obverse six depicts a hand carrying the torch of liberty in an act of perseverance. In its wake, symbolic chains confining the design have been broken, further underscoring the goal of the torchbearer's efforts. Design 7 portrays Liberty draped with the American flag, with her laurel crown of victory upon her head. Through strength and perseverance, she breaks a chain representing the challenges to liberty. A winged horse guides her journey to freedom. Design 8 represents two pilgrims in profile. Many who came to the New World endured persecution in Europe, a difficult journey overseas, and harsh conditions on the new continent in pursuit of liberty. And we'll move on to design 9A. This shows pilgrims at their landing point, looking inland to the west and encouraging one another as the Mayflower sails away. And we'll move on to 9B, which is a version of 9A. Moving on to designs 10A. Liberty stands tall next to the Liberty Bell, which has been fractured but repaired, a symbol of endurance. She holds an olive branch representing persevering peace. These designs correspond to a reverse 10A and 10B, which you'll see later, carrying over elements that echo Liberty's flowing hair and the wood grain of the Liberty Bell. So this is the obverse 10A, and these descriptions also apply to obverse 10B. Obverse 11 portrays an American colonist persevering under the oppressive rule of King George III. This small, underfunded army of soldiers and militiamen overcame the greatest army in the world to earn their liberty. Obverse 12 portrays the Americans who served in George Washington's Continental Army. They endured illness and lack of food at the winter encampment at Valley Forge in 1777, among other obstacles in their fight for American liberty. The design includes the additional inscription, Perseverance for Liberty. Obverse 13 presents a modern interpretation of liberty as a hardworking, salt of the earth, strong American. She exudes a toughness forged by overcoming the hardships of everyday life. Proud and patriotic, she holds her torch aloft with her shield for protection, laurel wreath for victory, and her American bulldog, a stout companion. Obverse 14 depicts a young African-American mother holding the hand of her daughter. She carries a large American flag, the same version of the flag which was used during the suffragist marches in 1914. The child's posture suggests that the path ahead is bright, though it's hard to discern, so she shields her eyes. Obverse 15. This depicts two hands holding the broken pieces of a chain that represents restrictions to liberty. Chains are not broken easily and require steady, unyielding pressure. And finally, obverse 16. Here, liberty is revealed in stone, demonstrating how the American people participate in sculpting our own image of liberty. And Mr. Chairman, this concludes the obverse design. So would you like me to stop there for your discussion and deliberation, or would you like me to carry on to share the reverses?
It would seem to me that it would be useful to share the reverses unless members of the committee think otherwise. This is Lawrence Brown.
Okay, we'll move on to the reverses. The reverse designs all depict an American eagle. Required inscriptions for the gold coin are United States of America, E Pluribus Unum, 1 ounce, 0.999 fine gold, and the denomination $100. 1/10 ounce designs will feature the same inscriptions, but with 1/10 ounce weight and the $10 denomination. The corresponding silver medal may optionally include the inscription United States of America. Designs are presented in both their gold coin and silver medal versions here for you today. All right, we'll start with reverse one, which shows an American eagle preparing to land. Reverses 2A feature an eagle calling out, and this extends to reverse 2B. Reverse 3 shows an eagle in flight while the sun peers over the horizon. Reverse 4A depicts a large stylized American eagle flanked by dual coastlines. The image references the geography of America and invokes the song America the Beautiful as the eagle flies from sea to shining sea. And this also extends to the reverses 4B, seen here. Reverse 5 depicts an American bald eagle soaring high above the same mountain range seen in the obverse design 5. The image echoes the climber's sense of exhilaration upon reaching the top, like an eagle soaring high above the ground. Reverse 6 depicts an eagle as it prepares to land. Reverse 7 features an eagle in flight, holding an olive branch. Reverse 8 features an eagle landing with wings held aloft. Reverse 9 features a soaring eagle. Reverses 9A depicts an eagle clutching an olive branch while perched on an arrow. The design uses classic iconography and gesture to depict dignity, strength, and peace. This reverse 9A, I apologize. These are for 10A. The Reverse 10A also features an abstract sky pattern that intentionally echoes Liberty's flowing hair from Obverse 9A and 9B and recalls the stripes on the American flag. We can also see these designs in 10B. Moving on to Reverse 11, which portrays an upward view of an eagle in flight holding an olive branch. Reverse 12 depicts the moments before a bald eagle's first attempt at flight. A young bald eagle stands on a rocky outcropping, looking over its shoulder just before finding the courage to fly. And finally, Reverse 13 features a traditionally stylized American eagle boldly posed to defend its nation's liberty. That concludes the designs.
Thank you so much. This is Lawrence Brown. So let us begin with Sam Gill. Sam?
Thank you,
actually,
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, this is Jennifer. Dr. Brown, you skipped a section.
I apologize.
Asking if Joe and Michael have any questions, and then...
Oh, I apologize. Yep. True, how could we forget Joe? This is Lawrence Brown. Joe, do you and your team have any further comments, information that you would want to share with us?
Just underscore that, something... Thank you, Doc. First of all, Dr. Brown, congratulations. And this is Joe Mena. Congratulations, and it's an honor to be able to participate with you and everyone else, but especially with you. So the first one, you'll see anything that's black means that it's field and incused. So that would be all polished behind the figure. It wouldn't be sunken into the coin because it's a coin, not a metal. All these have been vetted for coinability. All of them, design wise. Mike may have comments as well, but I don't have anything to add unless anybody has any specific questions. Thank you for your time.
Hello, Dr. Brown. This is Mike Costello. I don't have anything at this time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Brown, I have a question for Joe.
Please.
Joe,
introduce yourself, Donald.
I'm sorry. This is Donald Scarinci. My question to you, Joe, is Obverse, the design for Obverse 3, what's interesting about that is that it's incomplete, right? Which is the plight of women in Liberty, it's incomplete, it's not done. And I'm concerned, how would it pair with, the Reverse Eagles, which also look like they have their designs in the center area. How is the coinability and is there any Eagle Reverse that we could not use if we selected this?
I don't think so. I mean, unless Mike feels differently, with a heavily centered design here and I don't think the metal is going to be starved on either side. I think everything should fill nicely. I think the artist is likely trying to honor some of the committee's previous requests for more negative space and things like that. I don't mean to trivialize it by saying things like that, but it's a deliberately negative space driven design, and I think it'll work. I think it would complement any of the Eagles in the portfolio equally well. So a little bit of a rambling answer,
no,
Donald.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
So this is Lawrence Brown. Let us then continue. Sam, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and my compliments to you sincerely for your remarks today. They were extremely moving to me, and I appreciate them all, and I want to thank you for them and for your good work. Just to start out on the obverse here, this coin has become one of my favorite ones to work on because it's a blank slate. It's really for collectors. It's not for the general public, and it can be whatever you want to make of it to fill the squares for perseverance and endurance. The coin, to my mind, the traits I'm looking for, it should be compelling and beautiful, impactful, inspirational, of course, and show strength. And I'm just looking for something different with it. So in keeping with that, I went and by the way, the designs are all exquisite as usual. They always are. And so are the reverses. Just set that aside right from the get-go. I went to obverse number two because I just think that would make an exquisite looking coin. And yes, it does show the bristlecone pine, but whoever buys this metal or coins the metal and the coins, they're going to read the captions. They're going to know what the bristlecone pine is all about. And it certainly does show perseverance. So that was where I went from the beginning. I think that many of the others were designs that we've looked at before in various ways, shape, or form, and there's nothing wrong with that. And they could all make a very, very fine coin. I thought that number seven is very interesting. I wonder if it's too busy, and I will defer to what I consider the experts on this call, because I can't claim to be that person. But it looks like it could be a little busy, but I like the depiction very, very much. And I also liked number 16, obverse 16. It just shows a liberty in process. And I found that to be very interesting. So I think that those are my obverse choices or suggestions. And of course, I'm always willing to hear what everybody else has to say because you always got wonderful, wonderful views on things that I just didn't see. Dr. Brown, do you want to move into the reverse right now?
I think that would be useful.
Okay. Well, then my first choice for the reverse was number one. I just love the soaring aspect of it. It's just really, really majestic and beautiful. They're all very good, by the way. And we've seen, I think, various versions of these in the last few years. My second choice would be number 12. I like the fact it's a young eagle. It's could be very, very well sculpted, and it's got a lot of detail on it. I think it would be a very, very beautiful coin. Number 13 is always interesting to me for the history of it, but I don't know that we need to do that. So those are my comments, Dr. Brown. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next is Donald. Donald, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. A point of order that I wanted to raise, I think it might be better if we did the obverse design first and selected it, and then we could pair the obverse design after we vote, once we've selected it, with a reverse design, as opposed to, because my opinion about the reverse is going to be different depending on the obverse that the committee ultimately selects. Just my suggestion. It's up to you, though. You're the chairman.
Thank you so kindly. Is there any objection to taking the path that's suggested by Donald?
This is Mike Moran. I agree with Donald.
This is Peter. I agree as well.
Then on that basis, then Donald, if you can proceed with the obverse.
First of all, the two things I'd like to say initially, Three things I'd like to say initially. I am very proud of you, Dr. Brown, and as we all are, and I'm very proud of the United States Mint, and I'm proud to be part of this committee today. So I wanted to share that. This country needs to move forward, and I'm very proud. So the second thing I want to say is the artists who submitted these designs have, Joe, whatever it is you're doing with the artists, and April, and, whatever you're all doing, keep doing it, because, we're getting some very good designs here. And it really shows that there's hope for American coinage. I'm very pleased with what everyone is doing. The third thing I wanted to say is about this program. This is a Liberty program, and the point of the program, to go back into history, that I was pleased to be a part of, is in the absence of the United States Mint having an art metal program, with the thinking was to give the artists an opportunity to design Liberty in a new and modern way. The traditional depictions of Liberty do not speak to the average American. The facies, the Phrygian cap, these 18th century and 19th century designs are not communicating Liberty to Americans. And the artists, and since we're not artists on this committee, we love art and we love this, but we are not the artists. The artists need to come up with Liberty depicted in a new and modern way. And I was very sad that the last Liberty coin design did not get its a proper recognition in the world community when the coin of the year voting occurred. And I think that's in part because this program is misunderstood, and this program not understood. And what I just said is what this program is. It's what our intention was when we urged the Mint to move forward with this program. We wanted the artist to tell us, is there a 21st century way to depict Liberty? And other than the traditional ways we're doing it, such as the shield on the reverse of the 1 cent, right? So again, that's a Civil War era concept, and it doesn't speak to people in the 21st century the way it spoke as powerfully when it was more in vogue. So with that said, I'm absolutely an advocate for the last design, number 16, Liberty being revealed in stone. And the reason first, it's just absolutely, I think it's an attractive design, but it is what this program is. It could be the symbol coin for this very program, which is, to sculpt and, creatively depict Liberty in a new and modern way. And this coin is doing exactly that. It's showing, it's showing how we are all participating in our new vision for what Liberty means and how Liberty is depicted. So I think this coin, I think this coin is absolutely my number one first choice favorite. I certainly, like some of these other designs. I do like number 14, and what I'm going to say about 14, I would also say about number 3, which is, what's interesting about this, and I love the use of negative space in this case, Joe, in number 3, because, it's not complete.
You know, the mission is not complete. We're not there. We're getting there, but we're not there. And that's the same, I think, concept in 14. You know, also this artist uses negative space in 14, you know, to depict liberty. You know, but liberty is still in process. We're walking towards liberty. We're not there. And you know, for all of our citizens. So I think you know, I like those two designs, you know, for what they say and how they depict it using the negative space as an incompleteness. But you know, given the choices here, you know, I hope nobody talks about the pilgrims. I'm not going to talk about the pilgrims again, I promise. You know, but you know,
Donald, I'm so sorry. But you have, can you summarize, if you will, please?
I'm done. The coin I'm advocating is the sculptured coin, number design 16.
Thank you so much. And just a reminder to committee members, we have 5 minutes, and we have 5 minutes on the obverse and then 5 minutes on the reverse. So let's turn now to Mike Moran.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I want to commend the artist on the first design for using a male. Mary's not here to jump on me on that, but I'm glad that we've expanded the concept of liberty beyond the female figure. I had three that I particularly like in this portfolio. Design number three, or is it two, the pinion tree. It's the pinion tree, sign number two. I think that that is a very useful symbol of liberty when you're not using an allegorical female form. The tree is durable. It is able to regenerate and restore itself. It has symbol and meaning in the 21st century. Then I move down to number 14. By the way, I agree with Donald. I don't want any of the pilgrims, and I also don't want any of the revolutionary soldiers. That is not looking forward to the modern liberty that we're trying to get the artist to define for the United States and the heart and soul of this program. But this is on number 14. I really like this coin because it tells a story without being a storyboard. You're moving forward. You're optimistically looking forward. You're holding hands with the future in the child. It's a beautiful rendition, and I will give it votes. And my third one is the same one that Donald liked particularly. Liberty and Progress is what I call it. That's 16. I have one issue with it. Joe, is that a Frisian cap on top of her? What is that?
I work close with the artist. I believe it is. This design went from looking like the Statue of Liberty, which is Bertoldi's interpretation of liberty. So I encourage the artist to go more fully with the, you know, I don't want to get too deep dive too much, but a lot of what we think of as liberty is actually Columbia throughout history. So the Phrygian cap, as dated as Donald says, I did recommend to use some traditional attributes because the face it's so tight. There's no way to, you know, other it's there was just a device that was used to help represent her as liberty, but it could be amended if the committee felt otherwise. No, this could be modified if the committee saw fit.
Yeah, it reminds me. I'll go off on the positive and then tell you that it does bother me. It reminds me of the MLK monumental work in D.C. Coming out of the stone. I'm particularly moved by that one at night. It's a superior piece of art. This one in gold coming out of what would be textured stone and with some polish on the face. And obviously Liberty as a work in progress, which indeed it is. Spectacular, stellar. But to me, the Frisian cap is an oddity that I would not expect an American of the 21st century to really relate to whatsoever. And while I give it a lot of votes, at the end, if it's our choice, I'm going to ask that it be reworked. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Joe, I see your hand up. Do you want to say something very quickly?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Joe Menon again. If I'm not speaking out of turn, I just say we could do exactly what Mike, with April's, with the Mint's permission, we could very easily remedy those concerns and maintain the integrity of this design to have it still be as bold and effective as Donald and Mike both think it is. So we could take care of that, no problem.
This is Mike Moran. I'll score as if you're going to be able to do that.
Thank you so much. And by the way, Donald, please forgive me for not thanking you for that history that you provided about this program. I think that was very useful. Moving right along to Robin.
This is Robin Salmon. I was drawn immediately to number two, the bristlecone pine, both for the sculptural aspects of it, but it's such a strong, compelling design without being fussy. And other countries have successfully used plants and animals as emblems of their history, their iconography. And I think we should also think along those lines. And I also didn't want the previous coins design with the Mustang to be a one-off. If we can continue getting away from the female subject for a year or two more, I think it would put great strength into this particular program. The bristlecone pine design is absolutely beautiful in my eyes, and the legend "We shall persevere" on the metal design really puts it into perspective. My other favorite choice was next to the last one that we've been talking about. I can't remember which number that is. The stone in the face in the stone. Yeah, that one drew me, I think, especially because sculpture is why I'm here. It's something that I work with every day. And again, it's different. It's very strong, but it's still simple. And it also gives you, even though it's a female, it still gives you a different view of liberty that I think is important and appropriate. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Next up is Dennis Tucker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Dennis Tucker. And I, too, would like to welcome you to the chair position. It's wonderful to have you in that role for our committee. And following up on something that Donald mentioned, I would encourage everyone, not just committee members, but everyone listening today or watching today, to take a look at old CCAC transcripts, which are online at ccac.gov. If you take a look at the September 23 and 24, 2014 transcripts, Gary Marks talked a lot about this concept of developing art medals and depictions of liberty in our medal programs. So that can be good foundation for people when we look at programs like this one. All right. Kudos to the Mint for this portfolio. These are wonderful designs, and I'm really happy to see such a diversity of artwork here. I'll talk a bit about some of my favorites. Looking at Obverse 2, I think this is a wonderful design. I'm happy to hear that so many other committee members like it. It's very simple at first glance, but the longer you study it, the more you appreciate the tenacity of that bristlecone pine gripping onto the cliff. It's maintaining that tight grip, and because it is, the leaves and branches above are able to flourish. I think that's wonderful symbolism. Another one that I liked, and this is actually my favorite of the portfolio, and I don't think we've discussed it much today, is Obverse 5. This, to me, is the most dynamic and engaging of the designs in this great portfolio. It's active, it has tension, it's dizzying, and I think it personifies perseverance and heavily implies liberty. I would love to see this combined with Reverse 5. We know that this young woman is going to persevere through this challenge, and once she's there, she'll be on top of the world. I love this design. Obverse 12, this, I know that we want to get away from the more historical designs, but this concept of Valley Forge, I think it really embodies the theme of perseverance leading to liberty. It reminded me of a 1978 medal that the United States Capitol Historical Society made, which was authorized by public law and designed by Frank Gasparo. Anyway, I'll probably give this a little bit of support just because I know that it will appeal to a lot of Americans, especially as we lead up to the semi-quincentennial. And so those are some of the ones that drew my eye. Number two and number five, certainly the strongest. And of those two, number five is my favorite. I would talk a little bit about Obverse 16. I love the artistry on Obverse 16, but I hesitate with the symbolism. And it really spoke to me, so I spent a lot of time thinking about this one. There is symbolism here about the emergence of liberty. And liberty is depicted as something that it doesn't spring completely formed right from some outside source, but it has to be earned and maintained and sculpted, if you will. But that got me thinking about, because this is a federal coin and metal program, it got me thinking about the foundation documents of our nation, like the Declaration of Independence, where liberty is identified as an unalienable right. It's something that's inherent in us that doesn't need to be created. So this one, the symbolism made me struggle a bit because this almost says that liberty is something that needs to be created. So I love the design, but it's the symbolism that I find to be a bit challenging. There were several other designs that don't really, you know, speak to the themes, I think, of liberty and perseverance. So I won't talk too much about those. Obverse 13, I could talk about that one all day because I think there's a lot going on there. There's a lot to like about Obverse 13, but it's also very busy. And I found the combination of elements to be ultimately incoherent. There's just too much trying to be said here. But I love the modernity of it. I like the dog. I like the tension between the rippling flag, but the very straight flame in her torch. So there are things to like, but ultimately I don't think that number 13 works. So my strongest votes will go to Obverse 5, and I like the pairing with Reverse 5. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And just a reminder, my colleagues, we're still trying to stay within 5 minutes, if we can, because we have a fair amount to still go. Moving right along to our Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it's not only an honor to serve with you, it's a pleasure to serve with you. And I look forward to working with you. And I see that Joe Mena has his hand up. So okay. I'd like to defer to Joe, and I'll just mute myself and then resume my conversation.
Thank you, Doctor. I apologize for interrupting you. Dr. Brown, this is Joe Mena. If I could add a little art historical context to the Stonehead, just because people are talking about the symbolism of it, and I have a lot of direct experience with this kind of stuff. You know, going all the way back to Michelangelo, he talked about how he envisioned the figure was already in the stone, and he just had to carve the stuff away from it. It kind of alludes to that. But this practice in general is largely a Soviet device. And as someone who studied at the Russian Academy, and as a product of that school, of a teacher of 6 years in America and then 2 years there. That's why the monument that Mike spoke of, the Dr. King monument, is a Chinese sculptor, I believe. He's a Chinese academy, which is also parallel to the Russian academy. It's a very, very typical device of that type of monumental sculpture making, to have the figure partially revealed in the stone. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I'm just saying that's the biggest historical antecedent outside of Mount Rushmore, which is on a totally different scale. But just add a little context. I thought it might be useful I'm not presuming anybody's knowledge or lack of knowledge. I'm not trying to say I know more than the committee, but I do have a lot of experience with the Soviet stuff. And this is really heavily connected to that style of figures emerging from the stone.
This is Lawrence Brown. Thank you so much for that context, Joe.
Dr. Brown, this is Robin Salmon. May I say something?
May I suggest, because of the fact that we need to, in fact, go through everyone first, then we'll have an opportunity for everyone to give additional comments, as I do appreciate that this has been an exciting aspect. So let's hold the comments, if we can, towards the end as much as we can. So let's return now to Dean.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I'm going to try very hard to keep this under 5 minutes. I actually wrote out my comments and I rehearsed them, and it's about 5 minutes, but please give me another 30 seconds if possible. Joe, there were two designs that stood out for me. I mean, if we look at what Mary Lannan always said, what's the coin on the table you want to pick up? For me, it was number one and it was number 16. And I appreciate Joe's comment and the talk about the Martin Luther King Jr. monument. If we're just looking at number 16, the Martin Luther King Jr. monument also vaguely reminds me of the quote unquote unfinished Crazy Horse monument out near Mount Rushmore, which interestingly was done by a Polish American. So you got a little bit of Eastern Europe there. I don't know what the connection is. Let me just say some things about number one. Striking, stands out, and strength. I think the strength you see in the lettering, the date, the body, the posture, the positioning of the body. I like the gender inversion, where now you are putting more of a classical formed male as the representative of liberty. I am wondering a little bit, though, that this does, even if it's for collectors, it has a resonance beyond collectors. I'm just sort of wondering if, when you look at his hair, if people are going to assume that this is, you know, a Native American man and that's a headdress, and they may make some assumptions there maybe we don't want them to make. I don't know. I wasn't too keen on number two, but as we saw it, you know, sort of larger than life here on the screen, and what my colleague said, I think it's got a lot of merit. I'm going to come back to number 16 at the very end. Number three, I like it. I wanted this for the suffrage coin ahead of the one that was selected and ultimately won a major prize. And there's a word for that, and that's oops. But I really pushed for this one, and I like it. I'm not so sure I like it as much as I used to. I think I may have moved on a little bit from it, because the designs here are just simply so good. And some of them we have seen. Number four, nobody has spoken about number four. I don't like it, but I appreciate it. It's too faint. It's too busy. I'm not really seeing liberty or perseverance here. But the design does conjure these images of the pre-Raphaelites and maybe even Lewis Comfort Timpany. And so when do you see those kinds of things in a coin? And so some kudos to the artist. I did like number five. I like this one. It's young, it's hip, it's energetic, it's original. It's something beyond the classical ideal of liberty, you know, embodied by a woman in flowing robes. And I think it could generate some attention and conversation and maybe even, I don't know, reach out to younger people, who knows. I am going to say something about the pilgrims. I was a little surprised to see them here. And I was sort of thinking that when we think of the pilgrims and first contact, yes, it's liberty for the pilgrims, but it's not hard to see the dispossession of indigenous peoples. And we might want to move on from that. I'm going to skip ahead. Just looking at number 14, more and more I like number 14 as opposed to number three. I like the mother-daughter motif. I find it very moving. I like that the daughter is looking off in another direction, showing some sort of different perspective, different point of view, different understanding of what liberty might mean, almost generational. And then just very, you know, at the end, I did have trouble with number 16 in terms of not seeing the concept of liberty or liberty through perseverance, but it's such a good design. It's such a strong design. It really draws your eyes. I commend it. And I think it's, you know, it's either one or 16 for me. And I'm going to be giving points to quite a few of these designs. Excellent portfolio. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much, Dean. Next, is it Peter?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would just like to congratulate you on your chairmanship and the moving remarks you made a little bit earlier. So, What Dean just said about Mary's comment about the coin that catches your eye and that you want to pick up off the table, I have to say that number 1 and 16 were immediately the ones that caught my eye. And in part, because I think that they also fit well within the general program of what has been produced so far. And in fact, if we look back at what has been produced since 2015 in this program, we really have some of the most exceptionally beautiful coins in recent memory. And some aspects that all of these coins share is a certain gravity, dignity, and timelessness. And so in terms of looking for designs in this 2023 program, I again was looking for something that has gravity, dignity, and a timelessness, particularly a timelessness to it. And even though I like a lot of the designs, like number 4 or number 3, and number 5, and particularly number 14. I really like number 14, the mother and daughter, find that very touching. These seem they seem to lack a certain timelessness to them, even though they are very good designs. So I do, again, come back more to number 1 and number 16. The problem that I have with number 16 is that facing images, I think, facing faces typically have a lot of difficulty in being rendered well in coins and metals. There's always the problem of depth and also, forgetting the word at the moment, but I just am not sure how well this would actually come out in terms of the metal. I mean, it looks very nicely done here in two dimension and in drawing form, but I'm not really sure how this would work in terms of metal. The other problem that I have with 16 is that it, to me, seems very claustrophobic. And then it's a wonderful design. And I think that if this were representing anything other than liberty, it would be fantastic. But since we are representing liberty here, it just seems a little too closed and claustrophobic to me. So again, I come back to number 1 because this really does seem in some ways to represent what we've been through the course of the last couple of years with the pandemic, you know, sort of breaking through all of this, finding liberty after the Sisyphean 2 years that we've been through. And this is sort of a Sisyphean character here. But, you know, again, I have some hesitancy about this, and I also come to number 2 as a possibility as well. The problem that I have with number 2 is I'm just not sure if at a distance this design would not appear a little muddled. It is a design that you would need to look at very closely to see what in fact it is and also to see the details of it. But if you saw this on a table, it might not be immediately apparent what it is other than just sort of a smudge in a way. So I have some concerns about that. So again, I think 1 and 16 certainly have my votes, 2 as well. But again, I've got some reservations about all of these. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up is Arthur.
Hi, this is Arthur Bernstein. I'd like to speak favorably about Op Verses 1, 2, and 3. Much of what I was thinking has already been said. Op Verse 1, to me, is bold and different, and the lettering really struck me. It's such an unusual font. The Eye of Liberty just jumps out and really, really caught my eye. Obverse two, I agree with what has been said about the look of the tree. And obverse three, to me, is different but also traditional at the same time. I like the resemblance to the old Walking Liberty design. I love the way this design flows. It just sort of walks across the coin, and I like the symbolism. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dr. Fuller.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. And first, let me congratulate you again on becoming chair of the CCAC. And I look forward to serving with you and my other colleagues as well. I also want to congratulate all of the artists who have submitted designs for this committee's review. And I want to say I really love the portfolio. There are so many strong, designs within it. I have identified four that I think speak to what we're trying to achieve. And these are 10A, 14, 5, and 16. And I'll spend a little bit of time on as many as I can. And I haven't yet ranked them in any particular order. But if I may start with 10A, I just really like it's an elegant coin. It's a beautiful design. I like the symbolism of it, the Liberty Bell, fractured but repaired. It says a lot about our nation. I like the olive branch representing peace. I think, if I may say so, I would prefer Liberty to be looking in the other direction, facing forward, which is 10B, actually. 14, I think, like many of my colleagues have said, the word that comes to mind when I think about 14 is that it's relatable. I think, I have two daughters. I just think that for any, for young people out there, people with, children, it speaks to the young folks looking toward a brighter future in this country. It speaks to inclusion and patriotism as well. So I really love that about the coin. Five. I just watched a couple of documentaries about rock climbing, so I have a greater appreciation of it. This is a young person, so I think it's going to be relatable to young people. We need more young people, in numismatics. It's relatable. She's attempting to scale a mountain at the top of which she will have conquered the world, as one of my colleagues said before. So I think it's trendy, and I think it's a very strong design. And then finally, 16. I won't spend a lot of time on that because we've spoken about that. But this is a very bold coin and metal with a strong design. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'm just going to share a couple of comments because we're going to need to talk about process because we have to do the reverse. So the comments by our members of the CCAC, I certainly applaud, and Joe, I applaud you and your team. This is a fantastic portfolio. When I started to think about what would be the basis of my choices, I went back to the theme of perseverance and liberty. And Donald's, in fact, summary of the history of this program also was persuasive to me to say that we wanted to have a modern rendition of liberty. So thinking about that, the combination of those three issues, to me, designs 2, 5, and 12 are the most, in fact, suggested. Item design 2 is fantastic. The only thing about it is, even though this is going to be for collectors, the symbolism may sometimes get lost, particularly when you say the theme is liberty and perseverance. There's one of the reasons why I've chosen actually design number 14 is that when we think about perseverance in any society, we think about what's happening to the next generation. What is the opportunity to, in fact, have a next generation? So persevering in the face of the challenges that a society has, to me, seems to be looking forward, having a mother and a child. Now, admittedly, it could have been of any ethnicity, but I think here, mother and child does something to almost anyone. So people, when you look at things that motivate people, it is, in fact, certainly pets, it is certainly children, but mother and child, particularly when you talk of perseverance, to me, that sends chills up my spine. So those are my comments. My colleagues, we do need to talk about process. As you know, the score sheet has obverse and reverse. So in a way, we sort of would be useful on one hand to choose the obverse and then come back to the reverse. But that means, in fact, taking time out for a vote, mindful of the fact that we have until 3 o'clock. So if we can do that with some rhythm, then we may be able to do that well. Joe?
This is Joe Manna. Dr. Brown, if I may, just a little behind the scenes talk with my colleagues prompted me to feel confident that I could just, I'd like to just talk about Peter's concerns about the tree. We're all, I've 16 years of listening to the committee's educational deliberations. I've always heard this calling for more sculptural, artistic, abstract, symbolic work. And even though, if you look at it from a literal perspective, yes, the tree might not make sense. But if you look at the sculptural forms of the struggle, the twisting, sinewy kind of just abstract shapes, they themselves speak of struggle, even without any literal context. And this jagged silhouette, it's this form going upwards into, it could be as, this could just be some cosmic shape. This could be a Cy Twombly painting. It doesn't have to be representational, but it represents struggle. It represents perseverance just by the abstract qualities in a way that probably, just in my humble opinion, I'm not voting, but I think more so than any other in the portfolio. And it's a direct inheritor of the Bronco in that capacity. And I think for 14, for me, the suffragette was aligned with our famous Wyman Walking Liberty. But 14, for me, this is more so because it lacks all that pomposity, lacks all that symbolism that was appropriate 100 years ago. But here's this proud woman, and she's giving us the future in her, by virtue of presenting her child along with her. She's presenting both the future, her patriotism, and her, look how strongly she stands, like a column, you know. This is a magnificent design as well. So if I was like, for literal symbolism, I think this is the inheritor of the liberty, as some people were talking about the suffrage, and for abstract purity, the tree. And I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, Dr. Brown.
No, that was very good context. Thank you so much. So my colleagues, may I suggest that we consider, unless any further comments about the obverse, and if not, then that we actually go to vote to choose an obverse from which then we can choose a matching of reverse. Does that make sense? There are no objections? Then
that's right. Yeah, please score the obverse and send it to me, and I will turn it around to you as quickly as I can.
Thank you.
Please, everybody should know how to reach me. And remember, for the new members, you can score 0, 1, 2, or 3 based on how strongly you feel about any one design. You can score every design a 3 if you'd like, every design a 2.
Dr. Brown, I would just say that we adjourn for about, not adjourn, go in recess for about 5 minutes and come back about 2:16. Hopefully that gives everybody enough time to vote.
That makes a lot of sense. Hearing no objection, stand adjourned until 2:15.
In recess.
And I'm sorry, in recess to 2:15. Thank you. I'm not trying to get the meeting over that quickly.
The time is 2:11 p.m.
And we are adjourned.
Recess.
Please stand by.
Recess.
Mm-hmm. You're not adjourned yet.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. The time is 2:22 p.m.
Okay.
So we're back in session. Greg, if you may.
Yes. So after scoring the obverses, the scores are as follows. Number one received 14 points. This is out of a possible 30 points. Number two received 21, making it the high vote getter. Number two. Number three received 13 points. Number four received 2. Number five received 11 points. Number six received 3 points. Number seven received 3 points. Number eight received 2. Number 9A received 2. 9B received 2. 10A received 6. 10B received 7. 11 received 3. Design 12 received 4. Design 13 received 4. Design 14 received 16 votes. Design 15 received 3, and design 16 received 18 votes. So once again, the highest vote getter was design 2, followed by design 16. At this point, Dr. Brown, you can entertain any motions.
Any motions by any of the committee members regarding the obverse design, as in fact suggested? Report given to us by Greg.
Dr. Brown, this is Dennis Tucker. I don't think this requires a vote, but I would recommend that we make our recommendation number 2.
Is there a second?
As it stands.
Okay, thank you.
This is Robin Salmon, a second.
So Peter, thank you. I record you as a second. All those in favor, aye.
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 Thank you. And I think at this point we can move to the obverse. I'm sorry, the reverse. And then let's go back to. And I'd like to suggest, dear committee members, given the time, that we try to do it in fact 2 to 3 minutes if we can. And let's then go to back to Sam Gill. Sam, do you want to add anything more than what you did previously, or do you want to reinforce that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just re-echo that I thought that number one, reverse number one, would look just, and now that we have the obverse, I think it would look exceptionally beautiful with it. And I like the number 12. This is my second choice.
Thank you so much. Donald?
I like the birds in flight, particularly number 3 or number 5 would be my 2 favorites. Others are nice, but those would be my 2 favorites, 3 and 5.
Thank you. Mike Moran?
Yes, Dr. Brown. I like number 1. Let me point out on number 4, A and B, I felt like that the eagle needed to be stiff-legged in 4, A and B, and that bothers me. The design theme is good, but I'm used to a different type of or style of eagle with those legs back, not down like that. My favorite probably is number 12. I do want to point out something about number 12 in terms of the narrative. Young eagles that have just fledged from the nest do not have a white head. They don't get their white head until age 4. So that the narrative on this is totally wrong. And they're not going to fledge from a mountain peak or a rock. They're going to fledge out of the nest. So, but again, there's nothing wrong with this design. It's just not an immature eagle. It's a full standing bald eagle, and it's excellent in that regard, and I like it. But you need to kill the narrative. It's wrong. Okay, that's me. I'm done.
Thank you. Robin?
This is Robin Salmon. I preferred number 5. I looked at all of the eagle designs in relation to the previous coins, eagle designs, to try to do something different. So number 5 is good. I also like the fact that the rock sort of supports the narrative on the obverse. And then number 12, with the eagle also standing on the rock, I thought was a very strong and beautiful design. And both of those would work well. I might lean more toward number 12. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Dennis?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I like reverse 1. I like reverse 9 because it reminds me of the flying eagle scent. I think reverses 9A and 9B have some merit. And when I look at flying eagles like this, I'm often drawn to think about the platinum bullion coinage. So that's what I compare new designs to. But my favorite is number 1.
Thank you so much. Next is Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think to get across the concept of liberty, a soaring eagle is much better than a standing stationary eagle or a landing eagle or a seemingly attacking eagle. So that's where I am with this, with some modification with those principles. So my votes, I do like number 5. I think 5 is a good design for the reasons my colleagues have stated. And I like the negative space and a good strong design. Far more than number 5, though, I like number 11. I think we may have seen this design before. Here you have a really strong soaring eagle. And I think number 12 is a really terrific design, even though it's not technically a soaring eagle. You can imagine that eagle going off to soar. And you know, as long as we revise the narrative, or as Mike put it, kill the narrative, and just focus on the design, I'm really good with this design as well, and we'll be giving it some points. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Peter?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say that in terms of pairing with the obverse that we've selected, number 5, in my opinion, would be the best. The continuity from the obverse to the reverse with the mount range in the lower fields of the reverse number 5, I think works well. I also am really drawn to this depiction of the eagle in flight. I think it's a very strong depiction, and I really do like the negative space as well. So my top choice would be number 5, possibly number 12. Number 12 just simply because there is, again, continuity between the obverse and reverse in terms of the mountain crag or the rock there. So 5 is my choice, top choice.
Thank you so much. Arthur?
This is Arthur Bernstein. At this point, I think I'm the only one who it's speaking about reverse 2A. I don't recall ever seeing any of our coins with the eagle with its beak open. And that struck me as just something new and different. And I was intrigued by it. And the fact that it's calling out gives it a sense of action. So I like reverse 2A. Also a strong supporter of reverse 12. And reverse 3 caught my attention. I thought the sun rays was a nice were a nice feature.
Outstanding. Next is, in fact, Dr. Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would agree with Peter in choosing reverse 5. I think it pairs well with the obverse that we have selected. And I also like number 9. Thank you.
Outstanding. Thank you. As from my perspective, I love the calling out perspective. You know, talking about perseverance, calling out. So I'll reverse number 2A, particularly. I certainly would have no objections to reverse 5, but those are the two that I more lean towards. So are there any comments by any of the committee members based on what you have heard on the reverse conversation?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
This is Dennis Tucker. I apologize. I'm looking at two different files where 9A and 9B appear to actually be 10A and 10B. So just for the record, my comments were regarding the eagle that's perched on an arrow with an olive branch. And I mentioned that only for the record because I know that this will go into a written transcript and it has no bearing on my votes. So thank you.
Thank you. Joe, do you have any comments about the reverse that you want to share with the committee?
No. This is Joe Mena. No, sir, Dr. Brown. I think it's a very well-balanced portfolio. And I think the Mint artists did a great job.
Thank you. Hearing no further discussion, the committee will now score the reverse of the candidate designs. Each of you have in your email packet the information from the Mint. And again, please send your scores to, in fact, Greg Wyman. Greg, do you think, again, 5 minutes would be sufficient?
It depends how fast they come in. Let's check back in 5 minutes and let you know how we're doing.
So we are in recess now for 5 minutes. Return back, let's say, at 2:40. That's 6 minutes from now.
The time is 2:34 p.m. The time is 2:46 p.m.
This is Lawrence Brown. We are back. I want to thank all of the committee members and the listening public for their patience as we, in fact, get together this information. I now recognize Greg Wyman, counsel to the CCAC, to present the results from the scoring sheets.
Okay, once again, this is out of 30 points possible. Reverse number 1 received 7 points. Number 2A received 8 points. 2B received 5 points. 3 received 5 points. 4 received 5 points. 4A. 4B received 4 points. 5 received 17 points. That is the high score, but it is tied with another one. So once again, 5 at 17. 6 received 5 points. 7 received 4 points. 8 received 3 points. 9 received 7 points, 10A received 6 points, 10B received 6 points, 11 received 7 points, 12 is the other one to receive 17 points, and 13 received 4. So once again, the two high scores were number 12 with 17 and number 5 with 17.
Thank you, Greg. Are there any motions from members of the committee?
Dr. Brown, I'll make the motion. I move that we select design number 12.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Robin Salmon. I second.
Okay. So Robin, a second. Is there any further debate? That is the case. If all discussion has concluded, I will call the question. Those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye.
It appears that the motion has passed. Are there any further motions?
Dr. Brown, this is Dean Kotlowski.
Please.
I accept and fully support the designs that we've chosen. For the obverse, it's number 2 paired with number 12. My motion is to just do as an alternative, number 16 for the obverse. And I'm not sure which reverse I would go with. I'd welcome, there's interest in this motion, a friendly amendment. I guess I would go 16, and I think we probably need the eagle in flight. So that would be number 5, I believe, right?
So for clarification, Dean, you're suggesting as an alternative to the motion that just passed.
No. I'm happy with that as the first place. That is the first place. My motion is just simply like a kind of second place alternative, just something for the secretary to think about.
Is there a second for that motion?
Excuse me, this is Jennifer. Whoever has open mics, please close them. There's a lot of feedback. Can't hear the director. I mean, the chair.
Can you mute everyone?
Excuse me, it's still.
This is Lawrence Brown. We have a motion on the floor by Dean. Do we have a second? Hearing, seeing no second, then the motion fails. Are there any other further discussion? Based on that, then this seems to suggest that we've concluded the business for today. Again, I want to thank members of the CCAC, the fantastic Mint employees, our listening public, our media, for your attention and participation to the extent that you could for this meeting of the CCAC. If there is no further business to come before this committee, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Arthur Bernstein. Second.
Very good. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those nay.
Aye.
In the opinion and in the hearing of the chair, the ayes have it, and the meeting is so adjourned.